mesmerizing me. Their movements were so novel to me and so suspicious that I entered into a spin of rationalizations. I thought that if they were hypnotizing me, I was then in a state of altered consciousness. In my experience with Don Juan, I had noticed that in such states, one is incapable of keeping a consistent mental record of the passage of time. There had never been an enduring order in matters of passage of time in all the states of non-ordinary reality I had experienced, and my conclusion was that if I kept myself alert, a moment would come when I would lose my order of sequential time. As if, for example, I were looking at a mountain at a given moment, and then in my next moment of awareness, I found myself looking at a valley in the opposite direction, but without remembering having turned around. I felt that if something of that nature would happen to me, I could then explain what was taking place with my car as, perhaps, a case of hypnosis. I decided that the only thing I could do was to watch every detail with excruciating thoroughness. "Where's my car?" I asked, addressing both of them. "Where's the car, Genaro?" Don Juan asked with a look of utmost seriousness. Don Genaro began turning over small rocks and looking underneath them. He worked feverishly over the whole flat area where I had parked my car. He actually turned over every rock. At times he would pretend to get angry and would hurl the rock into the bushes. Don Juan seemed to enjoy the scene beyond words. He giggled and chuckled and was almost oblivious to my presence. Don Genaro had just finished hurling a rock in a display of sham frustration when he came upon a good-sized boulder, the only large and heavy rock in the parking area. He attempted to turn it over, but it was too heavy and too deeply embedded in the ground. He struggled and puffed until he was perspiring. Then he sat on the rock and called Don Juan to help him. Don Juan turned to me with a beaming smile and said, "Come on, let's give Genaro a hand." "What's he doing?" I asked. "He's looking for your car," Don Juan said in a casual and factual tone. "For heaven's sake, how can he find it under the rocks?" I protested. "For heaven's sake, why not?" Don Genaro retorted, and both of them roared with laughter. We couldn't budge the rock. Don Juan suggested that we go to the house and look for a thick piece of wood to use as a lever. On our way to the house, I told them that their acts were absurd and that whatever they were doing to me was unnecessary. Don Genaro peered at me. "Genaro's a very thorough man," Don Juan said with a serious expression. "He's as thorough and meticulous as you are. You yourself said that you never leave a stone unturned. He's doing the same." Don Genaro patted me on the shoulder and said that Don Juan was absolutely right and that, in fact, he wanted to be like me. He looked at me with an insane glint and opened his nostrils. Don Juan clapped his hands and threw his hat to the ground. After a long search around the house for a thick piece of wood, Don Genaro found a long and fairly thick tree trunk, a part of a house beam. He put it across his shoulders, and we started back to the place where my car had been. As we were going up the small hill and were about to reach a bend in the trail from where I could see the flat parking area, I had a sudden insight. It occurred to me that I was going to find my car before they did. But when I looked down, there was no car at the foot of the hill. Don Juan and Don Genaro must have understood what I had had in mind and ran after me, laughing uproariously. Once we got to the bottom of the hill, they immediately went to work. I watched them for a few moments. Their acts were incomprehensible. They weren't pretending that they were working. They were actually immersed in the task of turning over a boulder to see if my car was underneath. That was too much for me, and I joined them. They puffed and yelled, and Don Genaro howled like a coyote. They were soaked in perspiration. I noticed how terribly strong their bodies were, especially Don Juan's. Next to them, I was a flabby young man. Very soon, I was also perspiring copiously. Finally, we succeeded in turning over the boulder, and Don Genaro examined the dirt underneath the rock with the most maddening patience and thoroughness. "No, it isn't here," he announced. That statement brought both of them down to the ground with laughter. I laughed nervously. Don Juan seemed to have true spasms of pain, and covered his face and lay down as his body shook with laughter. "In which direction do we go now?" Don Genaro asked after a long rest. Don Juan pointed with a nod of his head. "Where are we going?" I asked. "To look for your car," Don Juan said, and didn't crack a smile. They again flanked me as we walked into the brush. We'd only covered a few yards when Don Genaro signaled us to stop. He tiptoed to a round bush a few steps away, looked in the inside branches for a few moments, and said that the car wasn't there. We kept on walking for a while, and then Don Genaro made a gesture with his hand to be quiet. He arched his back as he stood on his toes and extended his arms over his head. His fingers were contracted like a claw. From where I stood, Don Genaro's body had the shape of a letter S. He maintained that position for an instant, and then virtually plunged headfirst on a long twig with dry leaves. He carefully lifted it up and examined it, and then again remarked that the car wasn't there. As we walked into the deep chaparral, he looked behind bushes and climbed small Palo Verde trees to look into their foliage, only to conclude that the car wasn't there either. Meanwhile, I kept a most meticulous mental record of everything I touched or saw. My sequential and orderly view of the world around me was as continuous as it had always been. I touched rocks, bushes, trees. I shifted my view from the foreground to the background by looking out of one eye and then out of the other. By all calculations, I was walking in the chaparral as I had done scores of times during my ordinary life. Next, Don Genaro lay down on his stomach and asked us to do likewise. He rested his chin on his clasped hands. Don Juan did the same. Both of them stared at a series of small protuberances on the ground that looked like minute hills. Suddenly, Don Genaro made a sweeping movement with his right hand and clasped something. He hurriedly stood up, and so did Don Juan. Don Genaro held his clasped hand in front of us and signaled us to come closer and look. Then he slowly began to open his hand. When it was half open, a big black object flew away. The motion was so sudden, and the flying object was so big that I jumped back and nearly lost my balance. Don Juan propped me up. "That wasn't the car," Don Genaro complained. "It was a goddamn fly. Sorry." Both of them scrutinized me. They were standing in front of me, and weren't looking directly at me, but out of the corners of their eyes. It was a prolonged look. "It was a fly, wasn't it?" Don Genaro asked me. "I think so," I said. "Don't think," Don Juan ordered me imperiously. "What did you see?" "I saw something as big as a crow flying out of his hand," I said. My statement was congruous with what I had perceived and wasn't intended as a joke, but they took it as perhaps the most hilarious statement that anyone had made that day. Both of them jumped up and down and laughed until they choked. "I think Carlos has had enough," Don Juan said. His voice sounded hoarse from laughing. Don Genaro said that he was about to find my car, that the feeling was getting hotter and hotter. Don Juan said we were in a rugged area, and that to find the car there was not a desirable thing. Don Genaro took off his hat and rearranged the strap with a piece of string from his pouch. Then he attached his woolen belt to a yellow tassel affixed to the brim of his hat. "I'm making a kite out of my hat," he said to me. I watched him, and I knew that he was joking. I had always considered myself to be an expert on kites. When I was a child, I used to make the most complex kites, and I knew that the brim of the straw hat was too brittle to resist the wind. The hat's crown, on the other hand, was too deep, and the wind would circulate inside it, making it impossible to lift the hat off the ground. "You don't think it'll fly, do you?" Don Juan asked me. "I know it won't," I said. Don Genaro was unconcerned and finished attaching a long string to his kite hat. It was a windy day, and Don Genaro ran downhill as Don Juan held his hat. Then Don Genaro pulled the string, and the damn thing actually flew.
"Look! Look at the kite!"
Don Genaro yelled. It bobbed a couple of times, but it remained in the air.
"Don't take your eyes off of the kite," Don Juan said firmly.
For a moment, I felt dizzy. Looking at the kite, I had a complete recollection of another time. It was as if I were flying a kite myself, as I used to when it was windy in the hills of my hometown. For a brief moment, the recollection engulfed me, and I lost my awareness of the passage of time. I heard Don Genaro yelling something, and I saw the hat bobbing up and down, and then falling to the ground, where my car was. It all took place with such speed that I didn't have a clear picture of what had happened. I became dizzy and absent-minded. My mind held on to a very confusing image. I either saw Don Genaro's hat turning into my car, or I saw the hat falling over on top of the car. I wanted to believe the latter, that Don Genaro had used his hat to point at my car. Not that it really mattered. One thing was as awesome as the other. But just the same, my mind hooked on that arbitrary detail in order to keep my original mental balance.
"Don't fight it," I heard Don Juan saying.
I felt that something inside me was about to surface. Thoughts and images came in uncontrollable waves as if I were falling asleep. I stared at the car, dumbfounded. It was sitting on a rocky, flat area about 100 feet away. It actually looked as if someone had just placed it there. I ran towards it and began to examine it.
"God damn it!" Don Juan exclaimed. "Don't stare at the car. Stop the world!"
Then, as in a dream, I heard him yelling,
"Genaro's hat! Genaro's hat!"
I looked at them. They were staring at me directly. Their eyes were piercing. I felt a pain in my stomach. I had an instantaneous headache and got ill. Don Juan and Don Genaro looked at me curiously. I sat by the car for a while, and then, quite automatically, I unlocked the door and let Don Genaro get in the back seat. Don Juan followed him and sat next to him. I thought that was strange because he usually sat in the front seat. I drove my car to Don Juan's house in a sort of haze. I wasn't myself at all. My stomach was very upset, and the feeling of nausea demolished all my sobriety. I drove mechanically.